Dramas present Beauty and the Beast. This week's front page drama, Beauty and the Beast, is not, as its title might suggest, a dramatization of the familiar old fairy tale. On the contrary, it is a tale of pirates, the most bloodthirsty, fierce, and murderous pirates in all history, the pirates of the Barbary Coast. They were at the height of their infamous power under the leadership of Kheir ed-Din, better known in history as Barbarossa, the huge, hairy giant with the flaming red beard who plundered and murdered throughout the Mediterranean Sea and became the scourge of Christendom. The beauty of our story is the lovely Lady Julia, the Duchess of Trajetta, Countess of Fondi, and the most beautiful woman in all Italy, a young widow whose charm and grace had melted the hearts of all who beheld her. The thrilling story of this Beauty and the Beast is told in the latest installment of On the Treasure Trail of the Wicked Old Pirates, that fascinating series of authentic articles on pirate history now appearing in the American Weekly. For the full and complete story of the life of Barbarossa, read next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world, which comes to you as part of your Hearst Sunday newspaper. And now to our story of Beauty and the Beast. In the year 1534, Barbarossa took a fleet of 61 ships to attack the coast and invade the Holy Land. Negotiating the Straits of Messina, he anchored off Reggio, capturing every ship in the harbor and making hundreds of Christians slaves for his galleys. He was celebrating his victory.
In the name of Allah and our Lord Muhammad, we have indeed been blessed with a great victory this day. We have seized many ships and much wealth. We have captured many Christians, strong of limb, clear of eye, and sound of teeth. Mighty slaves for the oar and plow. Slaves to sell in the market to make us rich. May Allah increase the wealth of the buyers and grant them long life in which to praise him. Out of my way, pig. Clear me a path that I may approach the all-powerful one. Kheir ed-Din. Take your hand from me, eaters of dog flesh. Stand aside and give me entrance, I say. Peace, peace, I say. Who comes to disturb me in my hour of triumph? Who comes to bitter the sweet taste of victory? Speak, I say, or I'll have thy mangy beard burned off, thy dog's face, and stuffed into thy empty eye socket.
In the name of Allah, the all-merciful, said of Mohammed his prophet, I come. May thy shadow never grow less. I am Felix of Marrakesh.
Blessings of Allah and our Lord Muhammad be upon thee. Come forth, Felix of Marrakesh, true son of the faith.
I have come a long journey and bring thee good news, Kheir ed-Din.
Bid thy captains depart that we may be alone. Go, you loyal sons of the prophet, to where the feast is laid. Taste of the rare foods I have set for thee. Leave me now. I will join thee within the hour. Now, Selig, what tidings do you bear me?
It is said thou goest now to conquer the accursed infidel, to drive him from the land he has reviled and restore it to the true sons of Islam. In so doing, it is said you court the favor of the Grand Sultan.
That is indeed the truth. But should I find myself hard-pressed to destroy the filthy infidel, I would stand in need of help from the mighty Emperor of the Ottoman Empire.
Then I know where there rests the prize that thou might capture and take as a gift to the Grand Sultan. It is said that he holds great pride in his harem. It is not unkind to say there lies his magnificent vanity.
Aye, indeed, noble Selig.
Then but a short march away lies Fondi. And in a castle nestled in the Umbrian hills, there lives the most beautiful woman in all the lands of this great sea. The Lady Julia, Countess of Fondi. She is young, graceful, of rare beauty. Hair of spun gold, eyes bluer than the lakes of Italy, skin smooth as the rarest silk, milk white and delicate. Her limbs are long and slender, like the date palms of the Basha's garden. Such a rare beauty would be the light of the harem of the Ottoman Emperor.
Yala, such a gift would indeed win me his favor. It is good, Selig. Tonight thou shalt lead us to the castle of Fondi, where we shall pluck this precious beauty from the infidel and carry her off to the Grand Sultan.
Thank you.
sat on her balcony, looking away over the slopes of the Umbrian hills to where the sea was a purple shadow in the west. Brilliant stars glittered from a sky that was the blackest blue. At the lady's feet, a youth, languid and handsome, plucked softly at a lute while he recited the latest stanza he had composed to her golden hair. Lady Julia smiled down at her poet.
Pietro mio, it seems that thy heart is not in thy verses this night.
Madonna, if my heart is not in my verse, it is because my heart warns of danger to thee from the invading Barbosa.
Thy heart, Pietro mio, is too young and too tender to be troubled with thoughts of a foul and mangy jackal of the desert.
Yet they say he has heard of thy incomparable loveliness and desires thee for his harem.
A harem in a palace, beside a palm-fringed oasis, with sweet still pools, rare perfumes, slaves, jewels. Oh, but no. No, Pietro. I prefer my balcony here, and thy pretty verses.
But, Madonna, I pray thee, do not treat this threat so lightly. There is danger, grave danger.
Oh, peace, my friend. Go to thy bed. Thy dismal foreboding tires.
No, no, Madonna. I pray thee, do not send me away, but let me stay to guard thee.
What need have I for thee to guard me when I have guards enough and to spare to send those unclean swine to their Gehenna? Still, if it pleases thee, thou may watch in my anteroom.
Oh, Madonna.
Good night, Pietro mio.
Good night. And may the angels bring thee sweet sleep, Madonna.
Oh, who goes there? Hold, I say, and answer me.
Madonna. Madonna, awake. Awake. Madonna, awake. Do not stop to dress. Don my robe and hurry. Hurry, I say.
What is this disturbance?
Banditi. Some marauding banditi have attacked my guard.
Oh, it's a fence by Moorish Red Deer, Barbarossa. Quickly, get to the balcony to watch.
The gate, Madonna. They're forcing the great gate. Oh, they've forced it. Look, look there below.
Barbarossa.
On the balcony stands my prize. From the castle, I have come to the public.
Yes, see me. Quickly, follow me. They have but one chance. To the stables in the rear of the courtyard. Hurry! Hurry, Madonna! Quick now. I've saddled the black mare. The fastest horse in the stables. Put the sword and use it. Do not hesitate to kill it as our lives or those of those infidel swine. Now, up behind the saddle. I will ride in front and offer you whatever protection I can. Up! There. Now, have your sword ready.
Ready?
We're off to rush the gate.
You'll be riding off. Hold up. Out of my way, I'll take her. Close in. I'll put in for Del Bow.
Our guardian angels, we are safe at last, Madonna mia. Below us lies the castle of Antonio, Duke of Gonzaga.
It has indeed been a most hectic journey, Pietro. For 3 days and nights we have fled before the horsemen of the infidels. I'm impatient for the sanctuary of my uncle's castle. Let us not tarry now.
Patience, my dear. We must spare this faithful animal whose fleet legs and stout heart have carried us to safety.
Let us not tarry too long, for I'm tired. And caked with the dirt of travel. Hurry, for in my uncle's house I shall find scented baths, fresh rooms, rare wines, and good food.
There, too, we shall find eternal happiness together, and the peace and security of your uncle's estate, until I have restored your lands and funds.
Huh? Of what strange manner do you speak, implying that we shall find all this?
Have I not the right to speak now? Did you not promise me that could I prove my prowess in things other than the arts, I would win thy heart and hand? Have I not proven all this and more in saving thy life?
Thou art over presumptuous, Pietro. Ride on, I say. I will not entertain any further discussion of the matter.
But, Madonna, I shall change so quickly. Did you not
enough,
promise...
Enough, I say. Ride on this instant, or I shall report thy impertinence to my uncle, the Duke. He shall be thrown into the dungeon. Ride on.
Meekly, the poor dumbfounded Pietro spurred on the horse and delivered the beautiful Lady Julia to the safety and comfort of her uncle's estate. He had saved the beauty from the beast. But what he didn't know was that there was quite a bit of the beast in this beauty. For once she was safe and sound, she forgot the love and loyalty of her brave young horse. For when he persisted in pressing his suit for her hand, the lovely Lady Julia had him condemned to death for undue familiarity. You have just heard Beauty and the Beast, a dramatization of an incident in the life of Barbarossa, one of history's bloodiest, most feared pirates of the Barbary Coast. This colorful story of adventure is told in On the Treasure Trail of the Wicked Old Pirate, a series of authentic articles on pirate history that have been thrilling the millions of readers who each week find a wealth of enjoyable, entertaining reading in every copy of the American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world that comes to you with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. Dramas present The Corpse Accuses. This week's front page drama, The Corpse Accuses, is a dramatization of a true life story that was featured in all the Italian newspapers and appears in next Sunday's American Weekly under the title, Told the Story of His Murder 3 Years After His Death. Edgar Allan Poe at his best never created for fiction a story any more weird than this true story we are about to dramatize on this week's front page drama. It is so unusual that we feel that many of our listeners will doubt its authenticity. So why not make it a point to order the Hearst Sunday newspaper that gives you the American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world. All the villagers were up just after dawn, the morning Giuseppe Veraldi's body was found on the stony bank under the high bridge that spans the Siano River. The news of the discovery spread quickly, and the people of Campanzaro trotted after the village doctor, who in matters of this kind acted as coroner. Giuseppe Veraldi's mother was a widow, and Giuseppe was her sole means of support. So the kindly villagers shook their heads and muttered sorrowful expressions of sympathy as they quickened their pace behind the good doctor, who was doing his best to finish dressing as he hurried along the narrow little street to the scene of the disaster.
Oh, here comes Dr. Albani. Stand aside there, good neighbors. Let the doctor pass now. Stand back now. Now, don't crowd. Don't crowd. That's it. Give way now. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, Officer Marino. What is it? Where's the body?
Down here, doctor. Just below the bushes here. It looks like suicide, doctor, although I don't know why young Veraldi would want to do such a thing. He had everything to live for, but then you...
All right, doctor. Silly chatter, Officer Marino. Let me have peace. Peace. Quiet, everyone. Too early in the morning for gossip. Hey. Strange, very strange.
What is it, doctor? Something wrong?
Hey, quiet, you imbecile. I'm trying to see. Anything wrong? The poor boy lies dead at your feet. You ask if there's anything wrong.
I'm sorry, doctor. I'll keep quiet.
Hey, please. The body is badly bruised. The death was caused by a skull fracture. But no other bones seem to be broken. Strange. Very, very, very strange. How about his clothes, officer? His coat, his hat, his shirt.
I found those on the bridge up there. That's why I said it must be suicide.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I thought it out like this. He took his hat, coat, and shirt off up there and dropped them beside the wall. Then jumped off and landed down here.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. But if he had landed head first, his head would have been crushed and his neck broken. Jumping from that height, yes. Yeah, but there's only one bad spot in the skull, and his neck isn't broken. Now, if he had landed feet foremost, his legs would have been broken badly. Mm-hmm. But his legs and feet are all right.
Well, surely, Doctor, you don't think he was murdered?
Well, I don't know. If he had jumped in such a manner that he landed on his back and shoulders would show severe fractures. Tell me, was he in this position when you found him?
Exactly, Doctor. I haven't even touched him.
Mm-hmm. Lying on his back, with his feet toward the river and his head up on the bank, huh? Strange, very, very strange. I don't see how he could have landed in such a position.
Well, he may have been drunk, Doctor. You know, many funny things happen when a man is drunk. Sometimes they have an accident and don't get hurt at all. Mm. Like me when I was in the army and went to Milano.
All right, never mind your reminiscences. Have the body taken to the morgue. We'll have to perform an autopsy. Where is his mother, the widow Veraldi?
She collapsed, Doctor, and the padre, Father Luigi, is taking care of her.
Well, very well now. Now, one thing more. Did anyone hear any noise or disturbance in the vicinity of the bridge late last night?
No, sir, Doctor. That's one of the first things I inquired about. No one heard anything. And Mrs. Andrini, who lives right by the bridge, is a very light sleeper.
Strange. Very, very strange. But get your men and take the body to the morgue. I'll perform the autopsy and hold an inquest.
The autopsy and inquest were faithfully performed. But from the very meager evidence at hand, whether Giuseppe Veraldi died by suicide or accident was anybody's guess. The coroner's jury weighed the whole matter thoroughly and finally gave a verdict of accidental death. The villagers of Cantanzaro showed their deep sympathy for the widowed mother by giving her son a great funeral. Then life went on as usual in the village, and soon even the old mother began to forget her grief. 3 years passed, and late one afternoon, a young peasant girl of 17, named Maria Talaricos, was walking across the bridge on an errand that took her from Siano, her native village, to Catanzaro,